You would turn with me this morning in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. This is our second last sermon in the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to be reading verses 10 through 20, but our text will be verses 10 through 18. So that's Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. But before we read, let's come before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of grace once again, and we pray that as we open your word, as we hear it read, as we think about it, contemplate it, we pray, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit to apply these words, that you would strengthen our faith, that you would show us more clearly the work of Jesus Christ here this morning. Lord, we pray that you would indeed equip us as we indeed study your word this morning, that you would embed this word in our heart, that we would recall it from when we fight against the enemy, Satan. Lord, the one who is with us is greater than the one who is against us. So, Lord, we come and we look to you in great anticipation this morning of hearing great things from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. May God add blessing to his holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning we're going to begin our look at Paul's concluding remarks in this his letter to the church in Ephesus. And Paul concludes speaking on warfare, having the life of a soldier. Now, I don't have much experience in the military, but my extremely limited experience tells me one thing. The life of a soldier is not a comfortable one. A life of a soldier requires discipline. You train and you train and you train. You're training for a fight that you're not even sure you will be in. You train in physical fitness because the day the fight comes, if you're not in shape, you're going to be out of breath. You must be able to run and react. Your life depends on it, and the life of your fellow soldiers. You train with your equipment. A soldier who goes out into battle must know how his equipment works. It must be an extension of their body. You need to shoot thousands of rounds to get good at shooting. You must know what to do when your gun jams. You need to know where to aim at different distances. The point, however, is this. A soldier must know his equipment and train with it. Do you remember in our sermon series on 1 Samuel, David was offered King Saul's armor to fight Goliath. And David tried it on. But once he had it on, he said, "I cannot use this. It doesn't fit me. And I've not trained with it." So why am I talking about a soldier? Well, because Paul is writing about putting on the armor of God. Paul is speaking about warfare. And you see, Paul is writing from prison. And Paul is most likely looking at the dress of the Roman prison guards who would be Roman soldiers. Looking at everything that they're wearing. And he's thinking about the Christian life. And he sees the similarities to a soldier and a Christian. So let me set the stage for today's sermon. And let me start with our adversary, with Satan. So to begin, I must state this up front. Satan is not God. Satan, yes, is a very powerful creature. He does a lot of damage through his wiles. But Satan is not divine. Satan does not have insight into God's eternal decrees. Meaning this, God does not share with Satan who is saved and who is not. It is God who elects. However, Satan is a very well-educated creature. Satan knows the word of God inside and out. The question is then, how does Satan know who are the children of God? How does he know where to focus his attacks? Satan is not omnipresent, nor is he infinite. And the answer cannot simply be Satan attacks those who attend church. Many unsaved go to church. The reason is that he knows what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. If you are showing the fruits of the Spirit, if you are living as a child of God, make no mistake, Satan has taken notice of you. And he hates with a deep hatred those whom God loves. And he's coming after you. We can praise the Lord, however, that we have periods of, there's periods of fighting, of course, but there's also periods of rest in our Christian lives. But think about the following. If you are always comfortable as a Christian, and you are not being attacked by Satan ever, you might think this is a good thing. This is so wrong. What is happening is you're not even worth Satan's time. You are not showing the fruits of the Spirit. He considers you one of his already. You don't need to attack someone that's on your side, do you? Now, to be clear here, you may not fight like you're trying to take Vimy Ridge every day. But we must understand that the fight still rages all around you, and you have to be ready to fight at a moment's notice. There is no such thing as a retired Christian soldier in this life. A Christian soldier gets promoted once, from the church militant to the church triumphant upon their death. Brothers and sisters, we are in the middle of a raging spiritual war. In just a few moments, we will see that there is a realm that we cannot see with our own eyes. There are legions of evil demons who are waging war against God's people. And it does you no good to put your head in the sand and pretend that it isn't happening. This is the reality that you live in. But even in saying that, you live, if you call upon Jesus as your Savior, you live in a glorious hope. The war has already been won. Jesus secured the victory on the cross. And this makes sense. Do you think that following the announcement on the radio and newspapers that World War II was over, that there were still not battles and skirmishes as each side pulled back from their positions? I imagine some of the saddest deaths in World War II were those soldiers who survived the war to hear the announcement of peace, but were killed in battle as they fell back. Now, we must never take a passage out of context. You might be agreeing with everything I just said. Yes, when I go to work, I know there is a spiritual battle going on. My coworkers are not Christian. I have Muslim colleagues, or my sports teams that I'm on are particularly not Christ-like, or whatever the case may be. But what about the context? What has been Paul speaking on up to this point? He's been speaking about the church, and he's also just finished speaking about talking about the home. Do you think Satan will attack you in your stronghold with your family? Brothers and sisters, I will be up front with you. My biggest losses against Satan were not out there. They were in my own home, where I failed to lead my family in righteousness, where I did not love my wife as Christ loves his church, where I succumbed to sins of greed and covetousness. My hardest battle losses have been in the home. Why? Because I thought it would be safe to take off my armor there and put it in the coat closet because I thought I was safe there. Do you think Satan is above attacking you in your own home? Would we be so naive to believe that? I was. Am. Brothers and sisters, you cannot let your guard down. There is only one safe place, and that is resting in Jesus. So this morning I'd like to look at verses 10 through 18 in 3 points. First, our enabling in verse 10. Second, our adversary in verses 11 through 16. And then again, capturing 11 through 18, our weaponry for our third point. So our enabling, our adversary, and our weaponry. So first, let's look at our enabling in verse 10. Let's read it once again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what are we being charged to do here? Paul is commending you to be strong. Just be strong. And if that is all that Paul wrote, we would be undone, wouldn't we? Who here feels strong? Who feels strong enough to go against the largest enemy of this world? It would be like Paul writing or telling me, Tim, just jump in that boxing ring with that boxer who has been perfecting the sport for 20 years. Be strong, Tim. Go for it. The problem is, I can be puffed up with all the confidence in the world, and I am simply going to get annihilated. You are weak. I am weak. We cannot do this on our own. How many times do you say to yourself, I will not do that sin again, and then a day later, a few hours later, perhaps even just moments later, we find that we have done the same sin again? Be strong. This cannot be taken on its own. Paul does not write, simply write, be strong. Paul writes, be strong in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do not just read this like you're reading the newspaper. Be encouraged. Be strong in the Lord. We need to examine this a little more fully. What does it mean in the Lord? Yes, you're about to do battle with Satan or one of his demons. They are intimidating and they're very convincing in their arguments. The things that they're going to present you with are going to be challenging, such as, if you do not work on Sunday, you're going to be fired from your job. Or how about, if you do not support your child's sinful lifestyle, they are never, ever going to speak to you again. Or, you're miserable in your marriage. You're wasting your life away. Life is too short for you not to be happy. Get a divorce and find those greener pastures. Or perhaps, it's okay if you do this thing. I know God says it's a sin, but hey, look, you're a good husband or wife. You take care of your children. You go to church on Sunday. You give to the church. And look at all those other sins that you have stopped. You're a pretty decent person. Don't beat yourself up over this one. Notice that Satan and his demons cannot actually make you sin. Satan cannot make you sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to fall into temptation. Standing on your own strength is worth nothing. Satan is a master philosopher. He is a master deceiver. He is a master theologian. But what Paul is calling us to do is to be strong in the Lord. When you are saved, you are made to be in union with Jesus himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even Satan is limited and subject to the authority of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you are going to battle and standing strong, not just with a strong man. You are standing with the very King himself. And Paul tells us that we are to be strong in the power of his might. Now, I know it's been a few months, but I'll ask you, what is the power of Jesus' might? We have to go all the way back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. I'll read them once more to refresh. Paul writes, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. Paul calls us to action by calling us to be strong in the Lord Jesus. Jesus, who has the power over death itself. And that power, if you believe in Christ Jesus for your salvation, is in you. That power is in you. Does this not rouse you? You have been given everything you need to stand against Satan. Before Christ came to you, you were powerless. And now in Christ, you have the very power of the resurrection of the dead living in you. And that is very encouraging. But here's the sad part. We still sin as saved believers. We have all the power to stand against Satan and his attacks. But at times we make excuses. He was too powerful for me. I couldn't resist. Nonsense. If you have Christ in you, you were not too weak to stand against Satan. You let him in. You chose not to fight him this time. And don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. What I'm not saying is this is easy. Not by any stretch. Again, warfare. None of these things are easy. It's not going to be an easy life. But one that we're called to. But I pray that you're all encouraged. The one who is with you and in you is greater than the one who is against you. And if you would let him, he fights for you. So saying that, let's look at who is against us, our adversary. And I'll be briefer here because we've been speaking on Satan throughout this sermon, but we're told of Satan's nature in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Many people have tried to create hierarchies out of this verse, but basically what Paul is saying is that there's no place where we are safe except in Jesus. Satan is operating everywhere. There is a huge spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes that we cannot see. And this is on both sides. Do you remember the passage from 2 Kings chapter 6? Elisha prays that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant. Verse 16, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Man is not our enemy. It's our prayer that all men would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our war is against Satan and his demons. And Satan is ruthless. There is nothing sacred to him. There's no rules of war when it comes to Satan. He will attack your children. He will attack your parents. He will attack you when you think you're safe at home. He will attack you while you're laying awake at night in bed. He will attack the church. And he seemingly has a never-ending stamina. He will press his attacks night and day. And he will attack you where you're most vulnerable. In verse 16, we read that Satan shoots his fiery darts that only the shield of faith can quench. If you drop that shield of faith in Jesus Christ for just a moment, Satan is going to be right there to expose that vulnerability. This is our adversary. He is crafty and he's wicked. But he is not undefeatable. He is not undefeatable. Christ has defeated him. And we are given Christ's power to fight against him, to resist him as well. In the book of, in the letter of James, in chapter 4, verse 7, we're told the following: therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that is a quick look at Satan. He is mighty and we must take him seriously. However, everyone who is in Christ is fully equipped and able by the power of the Holy Spirit to face down Satan and be victorious. Just as Paul says in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, with our remaining time left, let us look at our weaponry that we have at our disposal for this warfare. In the time that we have today, I will not do this justice. Perhaps in the future, I'll come back to each of these items and have a short sermon series on each of these pieces of armor. But for this morning, there needs to be said, something needs to be said first and foremost. None of this armor that we're talking about here is created by you or provided by you. You do not provide your own shield. You do not get to wear your own boots. The armor is Jesus himself. Every piece of it, with no exception. Is this not glorious to contemplate? Not only is Jesus in us and his power, but he himself protects us and fights for us. The first thing that we're told is that we're to stand firm, having girded your waist with truth. I mentioned earlier that a soldier must train with their equipment. And a Roman soldier has learned this. The belt on a Roman soldier, it pulled in their tunic or robe. It cinched it up around their waist. It made them ready to fight so they don't get caught in their own clothing. You need to be in the Word of God, which is God's truth. If you do not know what you believe concerning God, Jesus, and your salvation, you are going to be cannon fodder for Satan. Satan will come in and say, did God really say? And if you don't know what God says, that's a problem, isn't it? You must be in the Word. Know the truth concerning Jesus. Know his law. Know his love. The second thing we're told is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers your internal organs, protecting your torso from slashes. Again, is Jesus your righteousness? In our sanctification, we're becoming more and more Christ-like. Be in prayer that the Lord would help you to be separate from the world, to live for Christ in all your words, in your actions, in your deeds. The third thing that we're told is to put on your feet the boots of preparation of the gospel of peace. Speak the truth in love. Share the gospel with those whom you come in contact with. Be ready to give a testimony to the hope that you profess. Boots keep your feet from slipping, but they also give traction to move forward. The gospel gives believers security from slipping against Satan, and the readiness to announce the gospel of peace. I have a tie. It's this tie. It has a tartan. It's the clergy tartan. But it's not just any clergy tartan. It's the battlefield clergy tartan. And as the story goes, a man sees a minister wearing this tie and asks him what it is. And he says it's the battlefield clergy tartan. And the man asks, on what occasions would you wear the battlefield clergy tie? And the pastor responds, in the pulpit, of course. Every time the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented, you are in a spiritual battle, make no mistake. Even from the pulpit, perhaps especially from the pulpit. Fourth, we're to put on the shield of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ defends us from the attacks of the enemy. Faith is ultimately a trust that Jesus has done what he said he has done, and that he is in you and protecting you. Fifth, we read of the helmet of salvation. The helmet goes on your head. Satan takes aim at the things that we know, the basis of your faith. Jesus protects you in this knowledge. This could be said, take up the knowledge that by God's grace, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you by his perfect atoning sacrifice. Remind yourself daily that you are indeed a child of God, that he is your God. Strengthen yourself with that knowledge. Doctrine is not simply head knowledge. Doctrine is for living. Six, take up the sword of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is the first piece of armor that is offensive and not defensive. You don't just dance around on the battlefield dodging shots. You take the fight to Satan. You are equipped with the Word of God. What did Jesus refute Satan with when he was tempted in the wilderness? The Word of God. As John writes, the Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, but he is in fact quoting himself. He is God. The Word is not simply just recalling a Bible verse. The Word is all authoritative because the Word is Jesus himself. Jesus does not simply protect you, he fights for you. Just as Moses sings in Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. Or the pre-incarnate Jesus, who is the commander of the Lord's army in Joshua 6, who led the Israelites himself. Or Jeremiah stating that the Lord is a dread warrior. The Word of God becomes effectual in the work of the Spirit. This is why Paul says it's the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit can work God's Word in the most hardened of hearts. And finally, there's one more weapon that the Christian has, and that is prayer. And this weapon needs its own sermon. So that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to close out this letter by looking at prayer. Dear congregation, how is your fight going? Satan is like a ferocious lion ready to pounce and devour any and all who are showing the fruits of the Spirit. If the spiritual warfare has been quiet in your life for a long time, this may actually be a sign that you are no longer seen as a threat by Satan. Satan knows the fruit of the Spirit, and it's like blood in the water. He'll be circling the boat like a shark. Brothers and sisters, the good news is this. Paul does not say, be strong. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The spiritual battle is long and it can be tiring. But we can and we ought to find our refreshing in Jesus Christ each and every day. Every hour of every day. The same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you, and you have been given everything you need to fight off spiritual attacks. But let me be more specific. You have been, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been given Jesus himself. His Spirit dwells in you. You have been given his word. You have been given his power. Jesus covers himself over you to protect you, and he fights for you. If you believe in Christ as your Savior, this is true for you. But at the exact same time, you may never use the excuse again. Satan overcame me. I was too weak. Because you're not too weak. You have the power of God residing in you. And brothers and sisters, do not forget the context. Satan will try to go after you where you think you're safe. In your home. Be extra diligent. Go to the Lord often in prayer. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you have been saved mightily. You have been made a new creation in Christ. You are called to live in the light. You are called to fight. We're called together as a church. Christ fights for us. And he brings us together to encourage one another to fight together. If you do not call upon Jesus this day as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would today. This is offered to all freely, to those who would believe, to those that would receive him. Paul says at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. Let us press on, dear brothers and sisters. The war has already been won. Be on guard for just a few moments longer. Our reward is waiting. Eternal peace with our Savior, which we already enjoy now. Being ushered from the church militant to the church triumphant. What a day that will be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would strengthen us in your Son, that you would show us the greater reality that the one who is with us is greater than the one who is against us. Help us to live as victors, as children of God. Lord, please forgive us for the times where we convinced ourselves that the enemy was too great for us and we gave into Satan. Rouse in our hearts that we have been given the power over Satan in Jesus himself. Lord, we pray that we would as a church be training daily and weekly for the battles ahead. training with our equipment, that which is Jesus Christ, his word, that we'd be studying your word, heeding the warnings, cherishing the promises. And we admit, Lord, there are times where we get tired of battling all day long, where the armor can, it may feel at times heavy, but we are told in your word that your yoke and your burden is light, for it is you yourself. Strengthen us, we pray, in Jesus Christ. Refresh us in you. And we pray, Lord, come quickly. We pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen.